WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. Two former secretaries of state have told CBS News they're pleased a ceasefire has begun in Gaza, but now begins the hard work of maintaining it. Hillary Clinton was in President Obama's cabinet.
It's a really significant first step, and I really commend President Trump.
Condoleezza Rice led the State Department under President George W. Bush.
This is a broader coalition of states that have an interest and have a lot at stake here.
19 people are missing and feared dead in a massive explosion at a munitions plant 60 miles southwest of Nashville. Humphreys County Sheriff Chris Davis.
We got a very big investigation. This is not going to be something that we're going to be like a car wreck or something like that, that we're just going to clean up the debris and leave. We're going to probably be here for a couple few days.
CBS News has confirmed the Trump administration has begun notifying federal employees at Treasury, DHS, and HHS that they're being fired. CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
This report on 540 WAUK is sponsored by Horizons Law Firm. Learn more about divorce coaching online at horizonslaw.com.
With local news on 540 WAUK on 100.3 FM, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. FEMA has sent nearly $92 million in flood disaster aid to southeastern Wisconsin, mostly to people in Milwaukee County. County Executive David Crawley reports today that over 15,000 residents in Milwaukee have received help, and thousands are applying for low-interest loans. Two disaster recovery centers are open in Milwaukee County to help people with their applications. The deadline to apply for FEMA assistance is about a month away. Milwaukee's streetcar could hit the brakes if one alderman gets his way. Scott Spiker says instead of raising the city's wheel tax from $30 to $40, Milwaukee should cut the hop and save about $7 million a year. The Common Council delayed the wheel tax proposal this week and will revisit the full budget next month. Police in Milwaukee say there's clear evidence both men fired shots during a deadly confrontation following a car crash yesterday. It happened at around 8:25 near 49th and Mill Road, when police say an off-duty officer was attacked by another driver who police say pulled a gun and hit him in the face. The officer then fired his service weapon, killing 26-year-old Elijah Wilkes. Investigators say they did find a gun at the scene and confirmed both men exchanged gunfire. The officer, a 21-year veteran, was treated at the hospital and is now on administrative leave. The name is Wausau, the location is New Berlin, and the number of jobs lost is 67. According to a filing with the state, Wausau Equipment is closing its New Berlin facility in December, cutting 67 jobs. The company, known for making snow removal products, gave no reason for the shutdown. If you're driving through Milwaukee County this weekend, be ready for another big freeway closure. Parts of 41, 43, 894 will shut down tonight at 11 as resurfacing continues around the hail. And that's the local update. It's all news all morning, 6 to 9 on 540 WAUK on 100.3 FM. News anytime at WAUKradio.com. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
The Cubs and the crew at 2-2. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, it happened again. First inning, the Brewers' Freddy Peralta on the mound. Bottom of the first, two men on. The Cubs, Ian Happ at the plate on TBS.
Happ with a drive. Right field. Way back there. Gone. Ian Happ takes Freddy Peralta deep for the second time in the series, and the Cubs lead 3-0.
The Cubs went on to win last night 6-0 to force a Game 5 tomorrow night in Milwaukee. Manager Pat Murphy.
Going into a winner-take-all Game 5, how do you guys get that momentum back on your side?
Yeah, I mean, that's something that you can't force. Momentum in baseball happens based on what's on the field. Hopefully, the tables will turn when we get into Game 5 at our place.
NBA, the Bucks with another preseason win, 117-111 over the Pistons at Fiserv Forum. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for Matinair and Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Showers, even a rumble of thunder, will eventually move out this afternoon. Some breaks of the clouds late, with highs in the mid and upper 60s, gusty southwest winds. Tonight's skies turning clear, lows in the mid and upper 40s. It's 60 at our studios.
50% of marriages end in divorce. Many of you listening may need our services. I'm Michelle Fitzgerald, founder of Horizons Law Group in Brookfield. Every divorce is different, so we offer a range of options, including flat fee, limited scope, mediation, and traditional divorce services. Don't go it alone. Educate yourself. Call Horizons Law Group, 262-432-3600, or visit horizonslaw.com. Horizons Law Group, where we educate, collaborate, mediate, or litigate to serve you best.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, what is the view from across the pond for Democrats who live overseas? We're going to hear from George King IV from Democrats Abroad. Join us.
Mattenair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Albaugh, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Welcome into hour number two of the big broadcast on this Friday, TGIF, October 10th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Welcome in, everybody, to the world headquarters of Civic Media, downtown Madison, at the crossroads of Fairchild and State Street. Beautiful day. Let's take a quick look out at the old Sam Davison street cam out there. Look at that. Sky is out. Leaves a golden yellow. People mulling about, getting ready for the big homecoming game. Wisconsin hosting Iowa tomorrow. You can hear that game across many of our stations tomorrow night. Pre-game show starting at 4 o'clock with the kickoff just after 6. Many thanks to Mike Mankey. How about that, Zommers? That was fantastic having Mike here along with us.
It really was. And the thing that stuck out, that struck me the most, is you've said since I first met you that the best thing you can be in broadcasting is genuine. And that really came across from him, and it explains why he's so good.
Great guy.
Because he's himself.
And those football and Badger basketball games would not be the same without hearing his voice. So many thanks for him to stopping by today. Coming up at the bottom of this hour, just after the Farm Report, late entry onto the rotation today. Cannot be happier about it. Our sports reporter, Mike Clemens, going to be coming to us from Green Bay, Wisconsin, at Lambeau Field, where the pressers are underway for this week's game. It'll be the Green Bay Packers taking on the Cincinnati Bengals. 1 o'clock start time for the pregame show there on Sunday, October 12th. And speaking of the Packers, we are so happy, so honored to have our next guest here joining us via StreamYard to talk about this great film, the poster of which is right behind me if you're watching on the stream, No Packers, No Life. It is Ty Morris, who is the producer and star of the film No Packers, No Life, joins us. Ty, thank you so very much, and welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me. Fired up to be here.
We're fired up to have you here. I'm thrilled. I've seen the trailer of the film. It's so cool. And we're going to give away, you guys at the film have been so kind and generous. We have two VIP world premiere tickets we're going to give away here in just a couple of minutes for the world premiere next Wednesday, October 15th at 5:30 at the Marcus Theater in Waukesha. By the way, folks, you can still have a limited number of those available, and part of the proceeds go to the Boys and Girls Club of Wisconsin. You can find it at nopackersnolife.com. But I'm thrilled about this film. Ty, you're the star of the show. How did you come up with the idea to make this film?
It was all by accident, and I wasn't supposed to be the star either, but I just happened to be the person that stumbled upon the Japanese Packers cheering team in Tokyo on that fateful day. So it just happened to be me, and 100 plus visits to Tokyo is 40 million people. The chances of me stumbling upon these guys, it's nearly impossible, but it happened. So here we are, 7 years later, we have a film of it.
I think it's incredible. And tell people who weren't with us yesterday when Sean Hannish was with us, but tell us the quick version of meeting at the intersection in Tokyo and how this really started.
Yeah, it's wild. Again, I'm in Japan all the time. Never seen a Packer jersey in Japan ever. On any given street, there's 100 plus bars on any block in Tokyo. It's like, you know, if you've never been there, it's like Manhattan, except in 2 hours in every direction forever. Right. And on this day, we had just come from a cherry blossom festival. We were hanging out in the park, having some beers, playing some music, and we were going to karaoke. We were getting ready to go sing some Bon Jovi songs, man. And we roll into karaoke, and I see this dude with a Favre jersey on. And I just kind of whisper. I'm like, what? I'm like, is this real? I'm like, go Pack, go. And the guy turns around. He's like, go Pack, go. And I'm like, go Pack, go. And then he goes, go Pack, go. And, you know, his English wasn't great and my Japanese isn't great. So I was so fired up to see a Packer fan. We just literally for the next 20 minutes spoke in a language of the past 40 years of Packer players. So it was just back and forth naming players. And as we're doing this, all these other people, guys and girls coming out of the woodwork with jerseys on. And I'm like, what is this? And they're like, we are the Japanese Packers cheering team.
That's incredible. I mean, I never knew this existed before I heard about this film.
I mean, and talking to them, they just exuded with this passion. And I'm like, what are you guys doing here? And they're like, we're getting together. I'm like, it's not the season, it's spring. They're like, no, we're getting together to watch our favorite game from the fall. So they're just coming to hang out to watch a game. And they were in karaoke because you can rent out these rooms and you have a party in these rooms and they have all these screens. Yeah. So we're going to sing. These guys are going to watch the Packers. And I'm like, well, I mean, how many games have you guys been to? How'd you get in the Packers? They're like, no, most of us have never even been to America. We've never been to a game. And that's when this whole story kicks off, right then and there when we met. Like, well, we have to fix this.
So we're talking to Ty Morris, who is the producer and a star of No Packers, No Life. You can find more about the film at nopackersnolife.com. So was it your idea to put this pilgrimage to the football Mecca together?
Yeah, basically. I mean, I've spent my entire life. I have a lot of, I have many friends that are more talented than me. And I've spent my entire life recruiting them for projects. So I've been a fan of movies, but I have no idea how to make one. I have a production company, but I'm usually supporting, again, more talented people. And I do the same thing with my record label and most of the projects. And as I'm talking to these guys, I'm like, oh my gosh. Well, first I'm not thinking about a movie right away. I'm thinking we have to get these guys to Green Bay.
Right.
They have to go to a game. Like, they're rabid fans. They're talking about the Packers. And I'm like, man, you guys are so intense. We got to get you there. And then as I called my childhood friends, Brandon Grant and Jay DeMeritt, back home in Green Bay that night. And I said, I just ran into these guys. We got to bring them to Green Bay. And then as we started figuring out how to bring them, I'm like, we have to document this.
Yeah.
And then I started roping in my friends that know how to make a documentary.
Well, I can't wait for Wednesday night. We're going to do our show live from the Marcus Theater in Waukesha. Hope to have you on then next week on Wednesday as well. And let's do a little business here. This is why we've been promoting this. All right, Zomeris, here we go. Time to play No Packers, No Life giveaway. Here we go. Clear the phone lines, Zomeris. We gotta clear the phone lines. We can't have people waiting on the phone lines.
All right, sorry to anybody who might be waiting. I'm about to drop your call.
We're gonna clear the phone lines to give everybody an equal opportunity here. All right. So here's how it's gonna go. The producers here, the promoters of No Packers, No Life have been so kind that we are going to give away two tickets to the world premiere of No Packers, No Life. Here's the caveat. You must be able to go next Wednesday, October 15th. The reception starts at 5:30. The movie starts just before around 7 o'clock. Is that right, Ty?
Yep.
All right. So you got to be able to go. All right. That's number one. So I'm going to give you a trivia question, and the first caller, we're going to take you in order that you call in. First caller with the right answer wins. All right. Here's the question. On yesterday's show, Sean Hannish announced a third former Green Bay Packer player will be at the VIP world premiere of No Packers, No Life. Name one of the three players. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Again, on yesterday's show, Sean Hannish announced a third former Green Bay Packer player will be at the VIP world premiere of No Packers, No Life next Wednesday in Waukesha at the Majestic Theater of Marcus. Name one of the three Green Bay former Packers that will be there. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Once again, phone lines lighting up like a Christmas tree, Ty. This tells me a lot of people are excited about this great movie. Let's take our first caller. All right, caller, who is this and where are you from? Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, this is Jim in Brookfield.
Jim in Brookfield. All right, Jim in Brookfield, listening on WAUK. Yesterday, Sean Hannish announced one of a third former Green Bay Packer will be at the VIP world premiere on Wednesday. Name one of the three players.
He mentioned they probably will get Amon Green as a third. Antonio Freeman was definitely one as well.
You are absolutely correct. Nice job, Jim in Brookfield. Obviously a listener to the show. It's Antonio Freeman, Amon Green, and George Kuntz are going to be there. Sure. Jim, can you go next Wednesday?
Definitely. My wife and I can definitely make it. We're right here in Brookfield, and it's just, well, it's on the other side of Brookfield, but we definitely can be there.
Fantastic. Well, don't hang up. We're going to get your information. Zomers will get it off the air. You'll be able to meet Ty and the former Packers, get some great food and drink, and most importantly, be one of the first people in the state of Wisconsin to see this great film. Congrats, Jim, and thanks for listening on WAUK.
You're welcome. Thank you, Ty.
All right, thank you. There you go, Ty. The public is excited.
I love it so much, man. I cannot wait till people see this movie. I cannot wait.
Well, I'm sure, you know, we went through this with Sean Hannish and Paul Jaconi Berry, who I know are involved in this film, and also Kelly Call on Just a Bit Outside. But I know as filmmakers, you guys watch this thing several times trying to get it right. What, as you continue to watch this film, what is something that really stands out to you? And you're like, man, I hope people get that part.
I mean, there's two layers that stand out to me every time. And I mean, I've gotten to enjoy it also, I have to say, from a different perspective, because I'm not the director, because Craig Benzine directed it. I've been able to, see slower iterations of it. And so it's been a different process for me. But what I've gotten to see and what I'm excited for people to see is there's a Wisconsin story, a story about our state, our team, who we are, what we are as a state, what type of people we are. And then there's a universal story about people from all over coming together, regardless of culture, distance, language barrier, and finding amazing community and love, honestly, just camaraderie over something completely unexpected. And every time I watch the film, I see both of those layers. I see the state I grew up in and the things I love, and then I see the a universal appeal to the entire world.
I think this is a great lens to look at something that we all grew up with, but through the eyes of somebody who looks at it totally differently. And I can't wait to see this film. Again, limited tickets on sale for next Wednesday's world premiere at Marcus Theater in Waukesha. Go to nopackersnolife.com. And then it opens up in southeastern Wisconsin, also Green Bay, Madison, and Gurney, Illinois, going into enemy bear territory. I love it. And you can find tickets at marcustheaters.com there as well. And hopefully, just like Just About Outside, it keeps on growing and you go to more theaters. But I hope people get to the world premiere. Again, the $100 tickets, part of that goes to Boys and Girls Club. So thank you for helping out a great cause. And if you didn't win today, folks, join us on Monday. We're going to give away two more tickets. Ty, congrats on this film. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having us. I'm excited for everybody. World premiere is going to be awesome. It's going to be one big party and celebration. So thanks for having me here.
Well, we can't wait to join you next Wednesday. And again, you all listening and watching can buy tickets at nopackersnolife.com for the world premiere and at Marcus Theater's website for the showing in Marcus Theaters across Wisconsin after that. Ty, we'll see you next Wednesday. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Todd. Take care.
Our pleasure. Come on back. We'll do a little What's Worse for You involving Badger football. Don't go anywhere. It's the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to 540 WAUK.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Concerned residents in the town of Stella near Rhinelander packed their town hall to demand answers from the EPA and DNR about PFAS contamination. The toxic forever chemicals have been found at high levels in drinking water and waterways across the area. The DNR says that contamination came from industrial sludge spread on farm fields by two nearby paper companies. Wisconsin's coastal communities are getting more money to help improve and protect shorelines. In celebration of Coastal Awareness Month, the Wisconsin Department of Administration is handing out $1.3 million in Wisconsin Coastal Management Program grants to 35 communities across our state. Right now on the Defender podcast, the amazing story of one Wisconsin food that was banned, burned, disappeared from our plates, and the comeback that's being helped along by solar farms. Listen at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are National Guard troops generally trained in law enforcement? No. National Guard troops like those President Donald Trump deployed to American cities in recent months to crack down on crime are not generally trained in law enforcement. For example, police officers in Washington, D.C. receive 21 training modules in criminal procedure, but Guard members receive none. Their primary training is focused on crowd control. Milwaukee's police union president suggested troops should be sent to Wisconsin's largest city. Governor Tony Evers called National Guard troops the, quote, wrong people, unquote, for fighting crime. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Thanks for everybody who played along on our No Packers, No Life, can't say text to win, call in to win trivia contest today. If you didn't win, don't worry. Going to give you one more chance on Monday. Be listening on Monday in the 3 o'clock hour as we will give one more pair of tickets away to No Packers, No Life. Great film. Cannot wait to see it on Wednesday. We're doing our show from there at Waukesha, at the Majestic Theater, the Marcus Theaters. We're going to be there, going to be bringing you more interviews with Ty, with Sean, with Paul, maybe even a couple of former Packers working on that. So we'll see. Hopefully. That should be a lot of fun. So join us on Wednesday, and you can join us in person if you win the tickets on Monday. So be listening to this coming Monday show. Going to give away two more tickets to No Packers, No Life. If you want to assure that you're there, you can purchase tickets at nopackersnolife.com. All together, nopackersnolife.com. Zomers has it up on the Chiron for those watching the stream. You can also find it in our show notes. Yeah, they're $100, but you get really good free food and drink, like don't eat before you go type of thing. Like it's really good food. And then you're going to meet the filmmakers and some of these former Packers. And here's the cool thing. part of the proceeds are going to go to the Boys and Girls Club of Wisconsin. So check it out. No Packers, no life for the world premiere event on Wednesday. And then you can buy tickets for the regular showing in Marcus Theaters in Wisconsin by going to marcustheaters.com. It's going to be shown in Southeast Wisconsin along with Green Bay, Madison, La Crosse, and Gurnee, Illinois, and perhaps more theaters coming forward as well.
And it's possible that this ends up on streaming like Just a Bit Outside, but hopefully, there's no guarantee at this point.
No guarantee.
And also, having seen Just a Bit Outside with big groups of people either at movie festivals or at theaters, you got to watch it on the big screen with a crowd. It's so fun.
It is.
And the whole crowd gets into it. I imagine this will be much the same.
Yeah. We anticipate that it most likely will. All right. We got Mike Clemens coming up after the bottom of the hour. So let's do a quick version of What's Worse. Here we go. All right, time once again for What's Worse. Nothing to give away, no prize money involved, but it is your chance to have your voice heard in all 10 News Talk and Sports Radio Network stations of the Civic Media Radio Network. Category, as Mike Lucas says, timely, timely indeed. What's worse, losing to Iowa, or as my grandparents used to say, my grandpa and grandma, my granddad and grandma, Alba, Iowa, losing to Iowa or losing to Minnesota? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Weigh in. Also, could give us a text on the Civic Media app. If you don't have it, download it to your Apple Android device. Takes less than a minute. It's free, the Civic Media app. All right, Terry in Cross Plains, yesterday's big winner for the No Packers, No Life contest. Terry in Cross Plains, listening on WMDX, says losing to Minnesota is worse. Our son went to Iowa, still no love for them. And my husband said, at least you're not a gopher. It's the last game of the year and you want to go out with a win. There, you nailed it right there. Thank you, Terry. Brett in Brown Deer listening on WAUK says losing the Axe is much worse. Besides, a Badger shouldn't lose to a gopher.
I didn't think about it that way, but that's a good point.
Chris in Blue River, listening on WRCE, says losing to Minnesota, always Minnesota. You can check him out with Saturdays with Simo, by the way, on WRCO. Great music in the afternoon. If you don't live in Southwest Wisconsin, download the Civic Media app and check Chris out on WRCO. On Saturday afternoons as well. Mike in Spring Green, speaking of WRCE, is tuning in WRCE Richland Center. Mike in Spring Green, Mike, losing to Iowa or losing to Minnesota, what's worse?
Well, two points I want to make. One, losing to Minnesota is worse because my wife is from Minnesota, so I never hear the end of it. So, and that goes for college or, you know, pro. And then the other question with Iowa, you know why Iowa doesn't have a pro football team, don't you?
Why is that?
Well, if they did, then Illinois and Minnesota would want one, too.
Best line of the day.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Fantastic. I love it, Mike. Thank you so very much. Have a great weekend on Wisconsin. Heather, first of all, PJ, I guess. PJ on YouTube says losing to Minnesota is worse because it's the battle of the Axe with Iowa. They usually have a tough team tough team, so it's expected. All right, fair enough. It's been a battle back and forth. Heather, listening on WCFW, the tap up a beautiful Eau Claire, says losing to Minnesota is so much worse. The Axe game is huge, right? Totally. I think that's absolutely true on that. What's worse, losing to Iowa or losing to Minnesota, talking to about college sports? Mark in Pertisac says the Packers losing to the Vikes.
Our own Chris Casper, a Minnesota fan, takes exception to that and Mike's comments saying skull.
Great engineer, great guy. His football legion slightly misplaced.
You know, we'll excuse it this time.
We'll excuse it. He's enthusiastic and he's tried and true to his team. So you got to give him that. Losing to Iowa, losing to Minnesota, Zomers, what's worse?
I got to go with the crowd on this one and say Minnesota. Because again, the Axe is so, like, just in the picture we have, the Axe is in that picture. And it's a nice physical reminder Plus, I like when Todd gets to say the Flexters.
Roger, listening in Stevens Point on WFHR up in beautiful Wisconsin Rapids. Appreciate your listenership, Roger. He says losing to Minnesota is worse. Can't lose the Axe. Iowa stands for I owe the world an apology. Yes, absolutely. Losing to Minnesota is worse. What's better? Mike Clemens, our sports reporter on the other side. Live sports report from Lambeau Field. Also talking about the Crew and the Badgers. Right now, farm news of Pam Yonke on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for the Maggie Dawn Show. Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
When we talk about milk production right now, we know the U.S. has almost an oversupply of milk. But another thing to look at is what's the milk production come from other places, as that can be a source of exports for us. I'm Ben Jarboe at the Midwest Farm Report, and Jenny Wackershauser, a dairy analyst with EverEgg, is here to give a look into what the EU milk production is looking like.
Europe, who has a bigger milk shed than the U.S. does, they are about 1.5 times, I guess would be an easy number to say, of their size of milk production versus the U.S. They came back from kind of their August break and holiday season to realize they have a whole lot of milk coming in the door. So for August, the Netherlands was up 4.8% year over year. Poland was up 4.6%. France was up 4.3%. And Germany was up 2.1%.
Jenny Wackershauser, a dairy analyst with EverEgg, joining us. And coming up next, we'll take a look and see if this spike of milk production from Europe will have any effects on our markets here.
The harvest is on, and Wisconsin farmers want to know how they're doing compared to their neighbors. Wiffles Hybrid, making a harvest tool available that help you do just that. Steve Quatty is the regional sales manager for Wiffles Hybrid in northern Illinois, southern Wisconsin, and he explains this harvest tool.
We offer a farm harvest report. You can go to www.wiffles.com and go to our agronomy page and sign up for that. And then it'll send you reminders that you can go in weekly and enter your progress as far as where you're at and what kind of yields you're seeing. But also you can see the yields of growers throughout the Midwest and what the progress is. And there's an interactive map there that shows everything. So it's a nice little tool to go and just see where our friends across the Midwest are at.
Steve Quatty, regional sales manager with Wiffles Hybrid. Find that tool online, wiffles.com.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Ben Jarboe with the Midwest Farm Report. Now, like I said before, let's see how the dairy markets are looking on this Friday. It looks like that spike in EU production may be having a bit of an effect on our Class 3 prices, with November contracts down 27 cents at 1637 a hundredweight, and December contracts down 23 cents at 1651 a hundredweight. When we take a look at what that Class 3 milk goes into, being 40-pound blocks of cheese, that is down 6 cents at 170, but butter's up a quarter at 160 and a half. If you want to learn more about Wisconsin agriculture, make sure to stay up to date with us by looking at our website at MidwestFarmReport.com. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarboe.
This report on WAUK is sponsored by Pickleball Kingdom, just a half mile north of Silver Spring Drive off Pilgrim Road, Menominee Falls. Pickleball Kingdom.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Showers, even a rumble of thunder, will eventually move out this afternoon. Some breaks of the clouds late, with highs in the mid and upper 60s, gusty southwest winds. Tonight's skies turning clear, lows in the mid and upper 40s. It's 60 at our studios.
The Wisconsin Book Fest is a free four-day festival in Madison that celebrates every type of reader. Whether you're into mind-racing mysteries, great birding guides, speculative sci-fi, or music memoirs, you're sure to find an author to obsess over. Join us October 23rd to 26th for dozens of author readings, discussions, book signings, and more. Head over to waukradio.com to check out the full event lineup. And don't forget to make space on your shelf for new favorites.
Pickleball is the fastest growing sport in America, and you've never seen a facility like Pickleball Kingdom in Menominee Falls. With 17 professional indoor courts in a massive 60,000 square foot space. New to the game? Try a free Pickleball 101 lesson. Need gear? The on-site pro shop got you covered.
This is Donald Driver. After a game of playing, listen, come hang out at our bar.
Just a half mile north of Silver Spring Drive off Pilgrim Road, Menominee Falls. Follow Pickleball Kingdom, Menominee Falls on Instagram and Facebook.
Pete Schwaba. On the next Nightlight, I talk about the new Civic Media sports show, Make the Call, with Parker Olson and Greg Gunderson. And it's a bar band Friday night, so Terry Barr is in the house. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to the Todd Allbaugh Show, where it's always first and 10 Wisconsin.
Welcome back to the Todd Allbaugh Show on the Civic Media Radio. How about that? Many thanks to Mike Mankey for doing a little bumper for us. We'll use that every once in a while. I don't want to overuse that. But, I mean, that's a voice right there. I mean, now we got Terry Barr introducing us at the top of each hour. We got Mike Mankey doing a little bumper for us. And the other great voice of Civic Media and person behind it, that it makes my day when we get to catch up with him and talk with him, it is our great sports reporter, the one, the only Mike Clemens, the man about town who is always on the road. We find him at Lambeau Field in Green Bay. Mike Clemens, how are you?
Hi, Todd. How are you?
Not exactly the same voice that we usually hear. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
It's been you're a road warrior, my friend. Watching the Cubs and Brewers last night. Now you're already up at Green Bay, getting ready for the Sunday game against the Bengals. And boy, it's a busy week in terms of sports for a guy covering Wisconsin sports.
Sure has. Disappointed that the Brewers couldn't close the deal last night. And you know, this sounds like dime store analysis, but oh my gosh, how much are the Brewers missing Brandon Woodruff right now?
Yeah.
And year after, you know, remember when the Brewers used to be a home run slugging team, and then they would get to this point, and then they would come up short because of what? Pitching.
Yeah.
And years ago, when pitchers used to go 7-8 innings deeper into games, but they were like, you know, 18-20 game a year winners. I used to say, look, it's the same story, whether it was the Seeligs ownership or Mark Antanasio, is that they get all these home runs, they score these runs, but when they get to the postseason, if they don't have at least two, you know, close to 20-game winners, they're not going to get through a seven-game series or a five-game series in this instance, and that's exactly, unfortunately, what's happening. Just it sort of became unraveled all of a sudden when Woodruff got in there. And you had Freddie Peralta, and then Quinn Priester sort of locked down that number three spot. And so last week, Saturday, was just incredible at the ballpark. Incredible. I was talking to Mike Vassallo, the PR director of the Brewers. I said, did you guys like have auditions and rehearsals for that crowd? Because he goes, right? I mean, even the Brewers front office was blown away at how impactful the home crowd was last Saturday. And then Charlie Barron's out there, you know, waving the towel to get the crowd going. And the first three innings, you know, just amazing. Brewers going up 6-1 and getting that advantage. So then Murph, rather than stick to the rotation, he goes, look, let's do the pitcher by committee thing. Let's use the bullpen on game two here at home. And then when we go into the enemy territory, then we'll put in the 25-year-old Quinn Priester, who was at 19 in appearances in a row. Whenever he got on the mound, the Brewers would win.
Yeah.
It's an incredible summer. That, you know, he'll be our first one, and that we could go 1-2-3. Well, you know, they won games 1 and 2. He just gets drilled the other night. 39 pitches, and Murph is out there giving him the hook because he'd given up 3 runs, and it didn't look like there's any way he could get out of it. And now, I mean, looking at the list, you know, they used Jose Quintana, who'd been a starter. Chad Patrick ain't worthy of, you know, playoff starting. And the Miz, you know, Jacob Mizorowski kind of got in over his head this summer, and they had put him in the bullpen. He had a great appearance the other night. But You know, and then Freddie gets drilled on you last night. Ian Happ with a two out, men on first and second base, a 1-1 count, and Freddie Peralta, fastball, but he let it hang just a little bit too much over the middle. Happ drills it out of the park, and the Cubs go up 3-0 right away. There was a fun fact they had last night where they said with that, 32 runs scored in this series by the end of the first inning last night combined, 21 of them in the first inning. That's a new Major League Baseball record. So, again, with this Cubs-Brewers series, don't miss the first inning.
Right.
You'll miss all the scoring.
Yeah, no, that's certainly the case. I know you are the gaggle and have some audio here. This is Mike the gaggle, and this is Brewers manager Pat Murphy after last night's game talking about facing the Cubs, as the captain, Tenniel, once said, do that to me one more time.
You guys had the first two. They've had it the next two. Going into a winner-take-all game five, how do you guys get that momentum back on your side?
Yeah, I mean, it's something that you can't force. You know what I mean? Momentum in baseball happens based on what's on the field. You know what I mean? And the Cubs earned it. They had their backs against the wall, and they played great these last two games. They pitched great. They played great. They played great defense. They hit in the clutch. They hit homers. They're built to be great, and they played great these two games. So hopefully the tables will turn when we get into game five at our place. But, you know, we have to find out how bad, you know, we're going to fight back. We have all season. This is not a team that has strung together a losing streak or anything like that, and they've done it in a number of different ways. So I admire our team. I have faith in our team, and I think this had to happen this way. There'll be no tougher environment to play in than they just did. This is a good prep for us, and I think, you know, we'll be ready to play. I'm certain we'll be ready to play in game five.
Pat Murphy, manager of the Milwaukee Brewers, after last night's loss to the Cubs, on playing them one more time. For all the marbles in terms of the NLDS on Saturday, you can hear that game across many of our Civic Media stations. Pre-game show at 6:30, first pitch just after 7 o'clock. Mike Clemens, our sports reporter, is on the phone live from Lambeau Field in Green Bay. But Mike, one more, just the final point on this Brewers thing. You're in the clubhouse a lot. You're up in the reporter's row. You've seen these guys up close. I'm going to speak as more of a fan, and you tell me whether I'm completely off base. I know you'll give me an honest answer. As just a casual fan, it seemed like to me that the crowd kind of got into the Brewers' heads a little bit last night. Maybe it was youth. They seemed a little rattled. And I don't know why. I feel good with them coming back to AmFam tomorrow night. I feel like they can do it.
It is. And, you know, and that's what they're talking about, the momentum swing. And then by about the second or third inning last night, the Cub fans are chanting, Freddie,
right, yeah.
Getting into his head, getting into Freddie Peralta, your ace starting pitcher of the Brewers, when he's on the mound. Yeah, no, you know, atmosphere seemed to have played a part of it. And certainly with Quinn Priester and the night before, a kid who's 25 years old, just turned 25 this summer, actually last month, who grew up 20 miles from Wrigley Park. You know, he grew up watching these Cubs.
Yeah.
He was at the World Series when they won it in 2016 as a young teen with the family. So maybe that will help, you know, a game tomorrow at AmFam. But, man, you know, it's like the Cubs batters, though, have now figured out the Brewers' bullpen. And when, you know, Happ gets his hits, you know, and Pete Crow Armstrong, when those guys are connecting, and then Brad Keller, their closing pitcher last night. You know, a week ago he was beaning Padres, and they still managed to, you know, win. But last, you know, two nights in a row, you know, total command of his pitches those last couple of innings that he's pitched. They're going to be a tough out tomorrow for sure.
Cubs at the Brewers tomorrow, again, 6:30 for pregame, just after 7 o'clock for the first pitch. You can hear it in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Park Falls, and Hayward tomorrow on the Civic Media Radio Network. Mike Clemens, our sports reporter, on the phone. Quickly, Mike, to the NBA. I can't believe we're already talking about the NBA. They beat the Pistons last night. But maybe the bigger news, once again, these Giannis rumors, Mike. What's to it?
You know what? There's some solid reporting this week. You know, ESPN and their insider shams, you know, put out a story there in August, and it got, you know, downplayed. And, you know, you don't see Giannis denying this stuff, even if he's, like, you know, off the clock, over in Greece, playing for the Greece national team. You don't see him debating this stuff or denying it on social media. And then, you know, the bottom drops out this week. They put out a whole timeline where they say, okay, so the Bucks get into the playoffs. Damian Lillard has a torn Achilles. Their season ends up being over. And then in June and July, John Horst goes to work, and he reinvents the team. You know, let's think about this. A year ago today, the Bucks team would have consisted of Giannis, waiting for Chris Middleton to come back, Brooke Lopez. Those guys are gone, right?
Yeah.
Damian Lillard with the torn Achilles, they release him. And then Horst pulls off this tremendous trade where he gets Miles Turner away from your competitors, the Pacers, and rebuilds that roster and also brings back the guys that they were peppering in throughout last season. And the Bucks seem to think that Giannis said, oh, okay. And then in August, you know, he changes his mind. So Horst flies to Greece and meets with him one-on-one with Giannis and his agent. And Giannis says, you know, what would it take for me to go to New York?
Yeah.
Like, as a destination. He's not interested in Houston. He's not interested in some of these other teams that might have been interested in him. The only problem is that the Knicks, they gave up all that capital for Mikal Bridges, you know, the 29-year-old that took Villanova to the national championship a couple times when he was in college. And they've given up four or five of their first-round picks. They just paid him a four-year deal, $150. So the word is this, is that maybe by February 1st, there's a four-day window where Bridges would be allowed to be traded to another team if, you know, maybe Horst comes up with some three-way deal. In the meantime, I think what will happen is Giannis is locked in. He will give you 110%. They'll see how this season goes and how this team plays out. And then maybe by February, they'll make a final decision on where he's going to go next.
Hopefully he can stick around Milwaukee. I just can't imagine the Bucks without him, but as you know better than anybody else, that's professional sports. All right, 3 minutes left. I want to get to both of these things. Badgers hosting the Hawkeyes tomorrow night, and the Packers against the Bengals Sunday afternoon at Lambeau Field.
3:25. You're taking on Joe Flacco, who you just played a couple of weeks ago as the fill-in veteran quarterback for the Browns, and they won 13-10 in that. Then, you know, he kind of falls out of favor with the Browns, and so they bench him. They play a game in London against the Vikings. He and his wife make the flight back. They're full of jet lag, and then they get a call from the Browns saying, hey, we just traded you to the Bengals, and they've got a car to pick you up here in Cleveland. So he drives down there, and he's got 4 days to learn the Bengals offense. So that's going to be an interesting experiment to see. But Flacco's, you know, 40 years old, 18-year veteran. And he's just got to kind of learn. He knows the plays. He's just got to find out what their terminology is. But he's got two great weapons with Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, those two great receivers. So that'll make it a game, you know, for the Packers on Sunday. Packers, though, their kicker, Brandon McManus, he's warming up on Wednesday's practice, and all of a sudden he feels a tweak in his quad, in his kicking leg, in his thigh. So he's maybe kind of questionable. We're waiting for the injury report to come out today. But, you know, they had to bring in Greg Joseph and some other kickers to take a look at for workouts, just in case they need a backup.
All right. So, again, Packers can be heard on many of our fine stations. 1 o'clock for the broadcast start, 3:25 or thereabout for the kickoff from Lambeau Field. You can hear it in WRCO Richland Center, CQM in Park Falls, RJN in Kenosha, WAUH in Wautoma. Mike, less than a minute left. Anything I haven't asked you want to get in?
No, just you'd like to see some progress from the Badgers tomorrow night at Camp Randall when they host Iowa, or as Grandpa Albo would say, Iowa.
That's Iowa, right. Hawkeyes. He used to say that. Iowa.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm really hoping they can get a win, the Badgers. I have a weird – I feel it's going to be like a 17-16 Hawkeye win, but I hope not.
Let's make it a happy homecoming weekend right. In Madison, right?
Absolutely. We're going, Zomers and I. All right, Mike, thanks so much. Appreciate you. Have a great weekend. Appreciate you, my friend.
Thank you, boys.
All right, thank you, Mike Clemens, a great sports reporter from Lambeau Field. Come on back. We'll wrap it up next.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Hey, I'm Dr. Chris Kammer, the rockin' dentist, with another victorious dental minute here on Civic Media. You know, for decades, we were taught that cavities had to be drilled and filled, but the evidence shows that cavities are actually a disease process that can be effectively treated with medicine instead of always resorting to surgery with a dental drill. Today, dentistry is embracing minimally invasive techniques that heal decay instead of amputating tooth structure with a drill. Dentists can now stop cavities before they spread and even encourage natural repair. It's a big shift in thinking because dentistry is actually moving away from drilling and patching holes toward actually managing the disease. This means no shots, no drills, and happier, long-lasting smiles for you. Ask your dentist because this radical transformation for dental visits is here now. And I'm Dr. Chris Kammer bringing you the good news about modern dentistry with another victorious dental minute right here on Civic Media.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The Trump administration confirmed in September it is sharing driver's license and Social Security information among federal and state agencies from a massive database of personal and voter data. A class action lawsuit by voters and pro-voter groups has been filed to stop it. Since May, 38 states have received requests to turn over voter registration and voting records, according to the Brennan Center for Justice. As of October 1st, the only state to have complied is Indiana. Eight states which refused to comply have now been sued by the Trump Department of Justice. The administration reportedly repurposed an existing U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services database for verifying immigration status called Systematic Alien Verification for Entitlements, or the SAVE system. NPR reported in September that the immigration status of 33 million voters had been checked using the database. The new lawsuit contends, quote, Congress passed the Privacy Act of 1974 specifically to prevent the government from creating formal or de facto national databanks or centralized federal information systems that would consolidate sensitive personal information of Americans stored at separate agencies, unquote. The voters and groups are asking the court for an injunction prohibiting the administration from using personal data not allowed by the Privacy Act. We've linked the complaint from AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, where it is now 8 minutes before the hour of 4 o'clock. At the top of the hour, ABC or CBS News, depending upon which of our great stations you're listening to. A weather update. Beautiful fall weather. That much I can tell you for the weekend throughout much of Wisconsin. Little chilly up north for our listeners in Amory and Hayward. Those already seen some frost in some places up in northern Wisconsin. A couple of freezes. So in some parts of the state, getting pretty cold. Growing season is over, as they say. Has not gotten to 32 degrees yet here in Madison, but I'm sure it's coming pretty soon. Although next week, I think still temperatures in the upper 40s, low 50s at night.
So. Who knows anymore? Certainly not me.
I'll take it. I'll take the night's weather here. Get out and enjoy yourself, whatever you're going to do. And then after weather update here after 4 o'clock, it'll be our great sports reporter who you just heard from, Mike Clemens, will be back in with an update from Green Bay, also talking about the Badgers this weekend. It's homecoming here in Madison. I really hope that the Badgers can pull off the win against Iowa tomorrow. Zomers, you and I are going courtesy of Trey V. Olson, who is so kind enough to give his tickets. He has his obligations in Green Bay. Since they moved it to the night game, he can't stay for the game, so he's going to be up in Green Bay.
Yeah, you know, he's got to do what he's got to do, but still, I thank him just the same for the ticket. And yeah, I hope so, because this will be my second game I've been to at Camp Randall.
Oh, nice. And have you been to a night game yet?
Yes, it was a night game. It was the season opener this season. And we did not do so well that game.
Well, let's this year or last year?
This year.
Well, they won.
Yeah, but it was not pretty.
All right, well, I'll take an ugly win over pretty loss.
Very true.
So anyway, we got the Wisconsin Badgers hosting Iowa tomorrow here at Camp Randall. Of course, we got the Game 5, Brewers hosting the Cubs, 6:30 pregame, 7:08 for the first pitch on many of our stations. And then on Sunday, you got the Packers against the Bengals at Lambeau Field. So all of that, or is it at Cincinnati? On my note, it says at Cincinnati. So maybe I got that wrong. Sommers is going to look it up and keep me honest. As our friend Matt Flynn says, great show today, and it really was. It was a fun show, and Mike Mankey on, Badger PA announcer, many thanks for him for coming on, and we're going to have him back soon. Wonderful historian of Badger athletics in Wisconsin, in addition to being a great PA announcer, all-around great guy. Also, many thanks to Ty Morris, who is a producer and star of No Packers, No Life. Again, you can find out about that film at nopackersnolife.com. And purchase tickets there. And our own Mike Clemens for being here as well, as well as Sommers. Did we find out, Sommers, where the game is at?
It is at Lambeau Field.
It is at Lambeau Field. So a mistake in the notes. We'll correct that. So at Green Bay. All right. Very good. That's why I ask. So, yeah, I think that's great. A little potpourri, or as we say back home, potpourri of news headlines before we go. Been talking a lot of sports today. That's fine. If you didn't watch the LA Dodger Philadelphia Phillies game last night, wow. It ended in the 11th inning, in the bottom of the 11th inning, when relief pitcher for the Philadelphia Phillies, Orion Kerkering, was on the mound. And instead of throwing, it was a infield blooper. And instead of picking up and throwing it to first base, which would have gotten the out and ended the inning, he panicked, basically. And to his credit, he faced the press after this and said, I messed up. And he threw to the home plate while his catcher was pointing to first base, and the ball went over the catcher's head, and the Dodger runner scored on an error. The game ended.
That's got to feel bad.
That's how the Dodgers got into the championship series, was on an error by the Philadelphia Phillies pitcher. I can't imagine, but to his credit, many of his teammates came over to him right away, the Phillies teammates, and consoled him, and his manager stood behind him, and the kid faced the press afterwards. We can't play it because he used some colorful language, and I didn't get it to Sommers in time to clean up. But Orion Kerkering, credit to him for facing the press, for taking the responsibility, and I hope that Philadelphia Philly fans do not let this one incident define him as a pitcher, or certainly as a person. We all mess up. Some things just happen.
I think it should define him as a person, in that afterwards he took responsibility and was like, yep, I messed up.
Yeah, absolutely. So shout out to him. Also, Barry Weiss, remember her? The creator of the Free Press online publication, only been around about 4 years. Just sold it to Skydance Paramount, i.e. CBS, for $150 million. Well, we'll have more on this next week. She just had her first big meeting with CBS News people. And get this is real. As reported by Semaphore and Wired, Barry Weiss is copying Elon Musk and asking everybody at CBS News to send her a memo of what they did last week.
Because it worked so well for Elon.
So that's what people at CBS News are dealing with. We'll get into it more next week. Well, what is it with people now? You know, like, what did you tell us what you did? What do you do?
Very office space. So right. Tell us what it is exactly you do here.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll talk about more about that next week. Also, Sean Duffy from MTV's Real World in Northern Wisconsin. Most recently, our Secretary of Transportation posted something a day or two ago. Pat Kreitlow, our friend and colleague of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, he put this out there that Sean Duffy is making fun of, or like they tore up an LGBTQ crosswalk flag, and Duffy's all excited about it. I've got some photos and some posts from his Real World days and his underpants, and I don't know. I think he protests a little bit too much, Sean Duffy. But we'll talk about what that next week as well. Hey, been a great show. Great week. Get out, enjoy the weekend, your family and friends. Touch grass, as the kids say. If you don't do that, we're cooked. Whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. We'll see you on Monday. Maggie's next.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief on Wall Street today. Stocks had been heading for a slight gain this morning, but that changed quickly after a presidential post on social media. CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
President Trump's threatened, quote, massive tariff hike on China landed with a thud on Wall Street.
Trump is upset at restrictions China's placed on exports of its rare earths.
The potential re-acceleration of a trade war with China completely spooked investors. All three major indexes closed in the red. The Dow was down 1.9%, the S&P 500 off 2.7%, and the Nasdaq lost 3.5%.
Today was the worst day for stocks since April, which may have been primed for a drop after surging to records recently in a nearly relentless rally. Overseas indexes fell across much of Europe and Asia. CBS News Special Report. I'm Christopher Cruz.
This report